To start our announcements, let me call on Preston Smith, who has an important one.
Good morning, everybody. I would just like to remind you of our congregational meeting that will be having directly after our worship service next Sunday. The purpose of the meeting will be to decide what to do with the remaining sanctuary renovation funds. And immediately after the meeting, we'll be having a congregational dinner. The church will provide
ham and meatballs, right?
And a drink, and if you could bring either a side dish or a dessert, that would just be great. So anyway, we'll see you all next Sunday directly at the
Great. Thank you, Preston. Also, you'll notice in the narthex, we have the Quillo squares that need help, apparently. I don't understand what help they need, but some of you sewers might, and there's instructions out there, or see Karen Manny. She might be able to explain some of that as well. Sitting amongst you today is a call committee. Now, normally, if it was a call committee for me, I wouldn't tell you that. But you are such a friendly congregation. If you see somebody trying to avoid talking to you, that's probably who this is. But anyway, today we welcome Reverend Alex Chartier, who is here to preach. Alex is a chaplain in a federal penitentiary. Yeah. And needs to preach for a call committee, and so the Synod asked if he could come here and do that, and I knew you were such wonderful, kind, generous people that you would be willing to let him do that. And so I told him yes, and he's here. And so the call committee is out there. And somebody has already commented to me, Alex, that you're used to preaching to prisoners in a federal penitentiary, that the crowd here would be pretty used to that. you ought to feel pretty comfortable. Yeah. That's the way they commented to me. My wife told him a few minutes ago, said that we've all got red and green cards and we're going to hold them up at the end of the sermon. it is important for Alex to, for the call committee to see him not just preaching, but also leading worship as well. So he'll be doing most everything today. You'll just see me just a little bit after. Thanks, Paul. Paul's applauding. That's good. So if I might take a moment and ask Frank Ireton to come up here. What'd you do? As you know, last week we honored Steve Summer for serving as 3 years of our council chair, and celebrated his giving for that. And also this year, Frank retired from being the treasurer of our church, not for 3 years, but for 8 years. Wow. Yeah. So, although this is unusual, normally we reserve this just for the chairs of the council. We made one of these for Frank as well. He wasn't here last week. He wasn't feeling well, so we didn't get to give it to you last week. So we wanted to give it to you this week as a way to say thank you for your years of service.
Thank you very much. I also think that we ought to thank you as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Sarah, your turn.
Good morning. I just hope that all of you know what's happening tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. It's Family Ministries Game Night.
Ooh.
If you need a commercial, I need a flashlight. I really hope that you will join us tonight. It is a guaranteed good time or your money back. But really,
not the offering money.
The money that you're going to make. We really do hope that you join us tonight. We have an assortment of things, and we'll be able to play a few of them. It's
Where?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
We usually gather by consensus. And I don't want to tell you because then you might come.
No, but I might talk to this call committee after a comment like that.
What age is a young adult?
What age is a young adult? Well, Don, you might have to grow up a little bit to reach that. I don't know that that age is defined either, but anyway. I think I'm going to quit making announcements because I think I'm in trouble enough already. So let us prepare for our worship.
Merciful Father,
we have sinned against heaven before you. We do not fully live as sons of ours. We use your gifts for our means. Forgive us and restore us, that we may resist all that draws us away from you, and be at peace with one another. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom is broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Candy. This is Daddy. You put your hand on your something I want to teach you that I think is really special that you can do anytime, if you're sad, if you're happy, whatever you want to do. I'm going to teach you how to say, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves the whole group, and Jesus loves everybody, okay? First of all, Jesus, a sign for Jesus, is point to the scars in his hands. Remember when he was nailed to the cross? Okay, you take your middle finger, okay, and you point to this palm. Can y'all see over here? And you point to this palm. That's Jesus. And then what you do is you go, this is love, and then me, and then Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves everybody in the group. It's like you're doing around the Father. Okay? Is that a good thing to know? Okay. And one last thing, so Pastor Gary and Pastor Chartier will be proud that I knew this too. To preach, it reminds me of not a grown-up, so no, you won't know. Years ago, well, you might be too young to know this, Groucho Marx used to do this with this cigar. You ever saw the preaching? This is preaching. And you hold your fingers together and wiggle it. That means you're preaching or teaching. So you teachers, it's the same thing. This means the person. So a preacher or a pastor, you put your two fingers together, your index finger and your thumb, you wiggle those, and you go this. That's preacher, pastor, teacher. Is that cool? Good, thank you very much. So now why don't we close? Would you, y'all want to stand up and let's do it to them? Let's do Jesus loves me. And Jesus, oh, and let me tell you one more too that's really cool. This is praying. If we get, this is praying. You hold your hand just like you would regularly pray and do this. Pray. Okay? So instead of closing with a prayer, we're going to tell you Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves everybody. Okay? Y'all want to turn around this way and we can do it, okay? All right, remember, you put your fingers in your palm. What are we, like where the nails would have gone in Jesus' hands. Jesus loves, cross your heart, me, Jesus, again with your palms, loves you, Jesus loves everyone in this room, all around the world. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to serve to them as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and pour manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen. As been mentioned several times today, I spent over the last 20 years in federal prison. Now, I know that sounds bad when I say it like that, but they gave me keys and I carried a radio and a body alarm and all that good stuff, so I actually got to leave at the end of the day. But one of the interesting things I've experienced was over the course of those years, whether it be lay people or other pastors who really have no idea what it's like to serve in a prison, they would always ask me, "Pastor Alex, what is the difference between prison and parish ministry? What is it like to work in such a terrifying environment?" Now, early on, I was never really comfortable with that question because, quite honestly, there are a lot of similarities. Like, for example, my choir at FCI Edgefield always fussing at me about who gets a solo. My ushers are always bossing people around.
trying to make sure everything's perfect, just in case. And, like in the parish, you can always tell who's at church and who's not by the empty spots in the pews. Because even my prisoners sat in the same place every Sunday. Although, in my congregation, they might not be in their spot because they're in special housing. So there's a little difference there. This is kind of refreshing today. Haven't had a woman in my congregation for over 21 years. And the one thing that might make Pastor Gary a little nervous, I don't take a collection. And I have, in fact, forgotten that when I supplied at other places years and years ago. But I'm sure you won't let me forget. Then I finally gave that question some thought. Some serious thought. Because I do serve in a different place. We don't have beautiful stained glass. We have steel bars in my congregation. They can look out from the windows of my church and see the beautiful wooded areas on the outside of the compound, and they cannot get there. Many in my congregation are in my congregation for some really stupid decisions they made in life. And that's the only reason they're there. They're not particularly evil. They're just dense, making life decisions that nobody would make if they thought 5 extra minutes a little bit more rationally. I've met some of the most extremely wounded people I've ever met. And I don't mean just wounding that comes from being picked on or bullied or any of that. I mean life journeys that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. They have actually lived through and survived. But they are broken because of it. And then, although I can't mention names, I've met some really bad people. They're exactly where they need to be. And when I go to church, I don't take my eyes off of them until they leave the building. But the one thing they all know is that they're sinners. Every one of them. They don't gloss over it. They don't try and ignore it. It is what it is. They were caught. Their PSIs tell them that they're sinners. It's a pre-sentence investigation, where before someone gets sentenced, they take investigators out and they look at your entire life and then determine based on that how long you're going to spend in prison. Prosecuting attorneys have told them they're sinners. And judges have told them they're sinners. So I don't have to remind them that they need Christ in their lives because they already know. They wouldn't come to church if they didn't feel a longing for the freedom of the gospel, because they know who they are, what they've done, and why they're sitting exactly where they're sitting. They just don't understand how to be forgiven and what grace really means. Because if you spend enough time in a structure of nothing other than the law, the freedom that the gospel offers is foreign. Now, in the parish, we're not so sure we need Jesus. And I say that because sometimes we're not so sure we're sinners. Just saying. We like to quantify sin. Right? We like to look across the aisle or look across our town or listen to the latest gossip and say, my goodness, thank the Lord I'm not like them. They're really sinners. Me, I'm doing okay. We see somehow that our blessings in life are proof of our goodness, as opposed to seeing ourselves as people who still need Christ. And we see God's grace not as a free gift, but as a reward for a life well lived. Because we don't have prosecutors and judges and juries telling us we're sinners. What today's gospel reminds us is that God doesn't quantify sin. The Galileans who were defiled in death and those who were killed when the tower fell were no worse sinners than anybody else. They're just like us. Here's one for you. The bank robbers that I minister to in prison, who are convicted of bank robbery, are no worse sinners than the guy who steals the extra box of pens from the office storage closet because he needed some extra pens at home. Think about it. They've both broken the seventh commandment, do not steal. God doesn't care about how much or the value. God cares about that when you take something that's not yours, you're stealing. And yes, I have government pens in my office and in my home and in my car and all over the place because they kind of grow once you get them out of the office. Yet somehow after all of that, we tell ourselves that if we don't get caught stealing, if my boss doesn't know I've got government pens in my lunchbox, it's okay. Lent is a time to remind us that we all need to sit back sometimes and re-examine our lives, re-examine ourselves, and re-examine the way we look to Christ. You see, pointing at others might be interesting, but it's not the truth. Maybe we need to spend more time looking in the mirror, seeing where it is that we can make improvements, seeing where it is that I need to confess to Christ my sins. If we can't come to terms with our own sin and how we, then how can we understand how desperately we need Christ? And if we can't be honest with ourselves, we're just like the tree that bears no fruit. We don't know what we need. We don't know how to get it. And our faith produces nothing of value. Thankfully, we don't get what we deserve. Because of our sin, we deserve death, destruction. But what we get is what God gives us because of how deeply we are loved by Him. Sadly, however, it's when we refuse to acknowledge our sin, we diminish the power of God's grace. But when we embrace our brokenness, our woundedness, those places in our hearts and in our minds that are less than what we would like them to be, and come to realize the power of forgiveness, the power of repentance, and the power of new life, then we can fully understand how magnificent the grace of God really is. Coming to know that there is not a single sin that can separate us from the love of Christ, that's true freedom from sin. We don't look at our sins and ask for forgiveness because we want to shame ourselves. We look to our sins and ask for forgiveness because we trust and know that in that act of repentance, the gift of redemption is right there. Lent is a time when we're drawn to that eternal truth. And by seeking forgiveness and letting God's grace make us whole again, Lent reminds us of the beauty and the power of grace. And that is the point where we're ready to bear fruit. By living a life of thankfulness and showing that thanks by how we live in freedom and forgiveness, sharing the love of God with others just like it was first shared with us. If you take nothing away from today's message, remember this. The sin that we are burdened with will never be stronger than the power of God's grace and the promise of God's forgiveness. We simply need to accept our limitations because of our sin and embrace our need for Christ with a repentant heart. Sin may be sin, but the grace of God and the forgiveness he gives us in Christ will never be too far away. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever, even into eternal life. All we have to do is ask. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our Christian faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Heavenly Father, we lift up before you all your children, those who live for you in this state, in our country, and throughout the world. We ask that you would continue to nurture their faith and empower the proclamation of your gospel to all those who have yet to hear of your grace. Lord, in your mercy. We ask you, Lord, to remind us that you have entrusted us with the care and stewardship of your creation. Help us to care for all that you have created and keep us steadfast in our commitment to preserve and protect our planet. Lord, in your mercy. We ask you to be mindful of the people in Newton and Heston, Kansas, who are living in the aftermath of another senseless killing. For the three who lost their lives, we commend them to your care and ask that you would watch over their families as they grieve. And for the 14 who were wounded, we ask that you would send your spirit of healing to help them recover and be restored to wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the people of Flint, Michigan, who still are without clean water. Move in the hearts of their city and state leaders to bring a quick and lasting solution to this problem and clean water to all the families that live there. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the mothers and children affected by the Zika virus, that the children will have loving and supportive caregivers throughout their lives, and that the mothers will find peace and comfort in you and in each other. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you would continue to watch over and support the ministry of this congregation. We pray for the unending grace to lead and strengthen them now and in their future. Lord, in your mercy. We ask you now to hear the prayers of the faithful who with their voice or in their hearts bring their petitions to you. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with works of grace and life. Bless us in these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with the Church of Angels, Choir of Angels, and the Church on Earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and joined us in your desert, pouring out your life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered here for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
body of Christ given for you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for gathering and feeding us as a mother hen embraces her young. Release us now to go on our way in these 40 days, ready to see our work as prayer, ready to fast from complacency, and ready to share with those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and have mercy. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.